I have some interesting work to do, but to do the drivers. But the one thing you should probably look around for is when you're looking at the PCMCIA driver package that it outlines, see what Ethernet adapters it supports, and then go try to find one of those Ethernet adapters for your PCMCIA support port, because you're going to want that. You won't need necessarily a Wi-Fi port. If you do, you might be able to run that through through USB. But having Ethernet is kind of handy. And if you have Ethernet, you can always acquire Wi-Fi through that. It's another way of doing it, too. So, very good. Sounds like an exciting adventure, my friend.
Thank you. I don't know if it's going to be too exciting. It's definitely over my head, but if I start plugging away through it, I'll feel pretty good the day it boots up, and you know, I get to hook it up and maybe use it on the HSSM mesh, and yeah, that'll be a kind of a nice little hurdle to get through that. Thank you very much. I appreciate everybody's input.
What in the pie here, all that. All right, very good. Anybody else have anything on this topic? I don't have anything more to add, actually, tonight. If anyone else has any, I think I got to everybody. Jam rigged up. Got everybody. Anybody have any additions at this time? Mr. Paul, go right ahead.
Just a quick one, on Walwart, of all things. I got my second router in the mail. I plugged yours in, I plugged mine in. One had a Walwart of 500 milliamps, the other had 1,000 milliamps. Both the same router, so I'm assuming that they were the same. Just noticed one running a lot hotter. I would have thought that, and it was actually the 1,000 amp, milliamp one that was actually running hotter. I always thought that they just drew whatever current they needed, and if the two routers are effectively the same, they should draw the same current and generally get to the same heat level.
Did you try swapping them on which machine they're driving?
No, I didn't.
You might want to, but the thousands are, if I remember right, heavier. They're iron type, so that could be the reason why they're so, you know, it's running so hot. It's an iron type, whereas the 500 mil, I believe, is a switcher.
It wasn't being hot. It was the router itself.
The router itself was hotter?
Yeah.
Oh, well, what's the versions of each? Which one was hotter?
I think your two was hotter than my three.
Okay, but they were G version three, so okay. So a G version two is going to run hotter because it's got more discrete crap on it.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought you were saying the power supplies were hotter. I asked you if you had swapped them, but no, I wouldn't worry about that. I'm just thinking the chipset on the 2 is a bit more bulky. You might want to check. I mean, do you not open the packages? Do you not fly them open?
Yeah, I ripped mine open already because I'm just getting it ready to sort of hardwire on some power poles into it. I didn't want to touch yours just because, you know, it's yours.
Oh, well, you're welcome to hardwire mine with Edison power pole. Just let me know whether or not you intend to rip the connector off, and if you do, that's fine. If you don't, that's probably better, but I don't care either way.
No, I wouldn't rip it off. I'd just drill a hole in the cave and just run into the back of the housing. Gives you, you know, anything dual I like.
Yeah, it's fine. I'll even give you a rough idea as to how long. Stand by, I gotta I have another router here, and I like the length. It's not one of these. It's another kind, but it's the one I use for my cellular uplink. Just measure the cable. Hold on.
KC2ZUM disconnected.
Well, anyone in the 28 to 30 inches, you know, raw range, you know, anywhere in that range is fine. Then you can trim, as you see fit to. Yeah, but I'm using a fairly light gauge twin lead, you know, red black twin lead for that. The lighter gauge stuff they have at Radio Shack, that's what I've been using. Is that what you have in mind?
I generally, with my stuff, I run sort of very short. Like I'd probably run the Anderson power poles. I'm probably about 3 inches off. So then if I actually needed anything longer than that, I would actually put an extension lead in.
See, I'm trying to reduce the points of failure here, so I put about 28 to 30 inches, whatever's convenient. And that's what I use. A little short. I did that on a radio recently because I had to, and I gotta tell you, it annoys the crap out of me.
Yeah, the one thing that annoys the crap out of me is like if you have a 28-inch lead on it that doesn't detach, then you got to start wrapping it around. And just the storage side of it just gets, a little bit messy.
Well, this allows me to, like, put it up on the table and have the power source on the deck or something. It works out pretty well. So you go ahead and put it on, but do make it a little on that, toward that length, if you don't mind. If you don't want to, that's fine, too. No big deal. But, yeah, good stuff. We've got a number of Linux-based processes going here. By the way, I should point out that in the last three subjects, and they are Rick's laptop, the Raspberry Pi, and the mesh routers, all the Linux boxes, every last one of them, that's something worth note. So anyway. KCTUNH, back to you for any more comments. K2BAR.
No, that's it for me. K2BAR, KC2UNH.
Hey, anybody else? Alrighty, well, I'll see folks down at at the Parallel Club tomorrow night, and encourage you to participate then, and also Kit Night on Tuesdays, and anytime else that we get together and congregate and mess with stuff. So anyway, I want to thank everyone. So I don't think we have, well, actually, before I sign, last call, anybody else? Thank you. All right, I got you. Who was on Echo Link? Was there a station on Echo Link? Okay, Howie, it's all yours.
Just thought I'd mention, I left my rig about 10 minutes ago, but on 7172 was 9K2GS. Kuwait. So if you want to work Kuwait, he was working people in the U.S. left and right on 7172. Go for it. 73 K2EIR.
Wow, wow, wow. Nice. That's good, DX. Thank you. That's good, Howie. Anybody else have any comments for the net? Alrighty, everybody. Thank you very much for your time and trouble. And God bless and have a great evening. I want to thank the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club for the use of their repeater and encourage the support of that group as well. And we'll talk with others soon about getting more mesh network nodes up at various sites. And if you have an idea for a site, please let us know because we're always hunting them down. You want to get involved, that's also cool, but there's other opportunities for things. High-speed networking, amateur radio style. So, look forward to seeing everybody soon, if not tomorrow, next week, whatever. It's KTBARW2TTT, off and clear, 73.
Connected, KA4EET.
KA4EET from W2TTT. Alrighty. Let's see. Alright, I don't know what happened to them, but I'll say 73 and I'm gonna go QRT now, W2TTT.
KA4EET, timeout.
Thank you.
Something was wrong. You're a little noisy this morning. You don't sound like yourself. much. Got to do something about my antenna situation at home. I was on 10 meters last night. I don't know what time it was, maybe about 5:30, 6 o'clock. Threw my call out. This guy came back to me, said he was on an island somewhere. So I couldn't pull him out of the noise. I got so much static. It's unbelievable. He called me, he put my call sign out about 4 or 5 times, and I just could not, I couldn't pull him out of the noise level.
Well, keep in mind, too, you know, we got a storm on its way, a big storm on its way here. So that's a lot of what you were hearing was the atmospheric noise from the storm. Not to, you know, it's not to say there's nothing wrong with your antenna, but certainly it's going to be very noisy. I had a lot of noise last night as well because of that storm. There's other things you can do with that radio, too, to try to clear up the sound, the noise. You know, different filters you can switch in, notch filter you can use. There's a lot of things on that radio that you can use to help clear up the noise.
Yeah. Well, Mount Child, I wish I could have. He must have been hearing me pretty good. You know, I just hit the automatic antenna tuner. I heard it click its stuff in. And I pushed the... what I did try last night, I don't know, I left it on... I don't know if it's a good test, but I left the SWR meter on. When I was transmitting, the SWR meter was moving up a little bit, but not much at all.
Well, that's, that's a good sign. Shows your antenna tuner is tuning up that antenna. Yeah, I don't think there's really anything wrong with your antenna. Coax maybe needs to be changed, but, don't worry about the noise. That was just band conditions because of the storm. That's one thing about the summer. You'll hear a lot of that in the summertime with all the thunderstorms going around. But especially this one that is headed our way, probably very close to us today.
Elope 2 Tango India Alpha.
Solid, Steve. Okay, yeah, I'm going to try. I'm going to see what kind of noise show I got when I get home today. And then I might put on my other radio and see if the noise level's about the same. Okay, very good. Over to you, Steve. 82 BOR. Good morning.
Good morning, Charles. Good morning, Rocco. How are you, sir? Rocky, why don't you take it?
Can't complain. I guess you heard what I was saying. I had somebody coming back to me yesterday and that the noise level was just too high. Okay, pick it up with Charlie. Say good morning to him. 82 BOR.
Good morning, Charlie. I thought it was particularly noisy last night, and it was pretty noisy, just getting noisy again now. I hear a lot of, not a lot of static crashes per se, but there's a lot of static noise on the bands.
Yeah, that's one of the attributes of the warmer weather with the thunderstorms and stuff. The atmosphere is very charged. And you get a lot of noise. That's why some guys prefer the winter months for HF, because it's a lot quieter. But anyway, good morning, Steve. Well, I finally was able to help John's friend, Tony. We got the 146.955, this one programmed into his Bofang. He can hear it, but he can't key it up yet. I guess he's too far away.
Yeah, he'll work something out, I'm sure. It's unusual, though, to find a ham that isn't on 2 meters. You know, like for the first time. He's been a ham for a while, I guess. He said he's been on HF for a long time. Not to have 2 meters was kind of strange, I thought. But usually it's the other way around. You start on 2 meters and then you work your way into HF.
Hey, good morning, John. Yeah. Yeah, it is funny. Well, I talked to him on 147.090. It's a repeater in Queens. And so we had a nice chat over there. The radio sounds pretty good. And just as I was signing, Greg came on.
K-A-2-U-A-Y, which I seem to find that guy everywhere I go. But he came on and said hello. But I was glad we were able to get Tony set up on the HD. At least now he knows what to do. I think what his problem was, he was trying to program a repeater over a used frequency. And I don't think you can do that. I mean, over a used channel, memory channel. I don't think you can do that. I think you have to delete the channel and then program the repeater into the deleted channel. But we got him set up anyway. John recognized. Go ahead. Over to you. KC2HBR and 1MUQ Mobile.
KC2HBR. Yeah, there must be something wrong, Charlie. Good morning, guys. There must be something wrong because he's only a few miles away from me. And, you know, he should have no problem getting into the Alpine. They must be doing something wrong. I mean, you heard me today. I was walking around my neighborhood, and, yeah, sometimes I was going direct. I wasn't cross-banding the whole time. So, you know, I think that there's still something wrong to be able to get into Alpine with you. It's just, like I said, a couple of miles away from me.
Okay, very good. Well, you're a little noisy this morning. Well, I don't think there's anything wrong. First of all, he was trying to get in from his house, inside his house, with the stock rubber duck. You've got that extended whip on your HT. So that certainly helps. Maybe if he went outside or went on the roof, he might have been able to get into it. But, you know, he was just trying it from inside the house. I told him he should, you know, think of getting a mag mount. And if he had an air conditioning unit on the outside, maybe he's trying to set up something with the air conditioning unit with the mag mount on top of it. But, you know, he'll get set up. He's just starting. But, like I said, I did work him on the 090. He said he also monitors at work the 147-000. That's somewhere in Manhattan. So I'm going to program that into this radio and my other radios. Maybe see if I can work him at, while he's at work.
That's on top of the Chrysler building, that one that you mentioned in Manhattan. And the 147090, that one's right in my neighborhood, right there where I live, maybe a mile or so away. And all right, Charlie, good looking out. That's good. Over to you, Steve. Good morning.
Good morning, John. Good to hear you. I assume you're in money-making Manhasset.
Sir, whenever you hear me, I got a little clue for you guys. I got a little hint. Whenever you guys hear me on the air at this ungodly hour, that means I'm at work, because if I was at home, I'd be asleep. Back to you.
Okay. I know that. Just making conversation. And I was thinking about it here. I have the extra antenna, the long whip. They sent me an extra one, so it's no skin off my nose. I could drop it off to you maybe one day or something like that, and you could give it to your friend.
What do you have? I'm sorry. What kind of antenna?
I got the longer whip for the Bofang. They sent me three instead of two. And so I have an extra one here.
Okay, roger that. All right, Steve, when I come over to help out with the antenna install in about, what, 2 weeks?
Well, I'm hoping maybe for the 20th if you guys are available.
What day is the 20th?
I'm all right with that.
I believe it should be a Saturday.
Right, I'll check my calendar and I'll pencil it in and tell my wife. So we'll plan on that. The only thing that'll change is if it's going to be bad weather, if it's going to be rainy.
Agreed. So I'm getting excited. I really want to put it up. It got blown over in the rain last night, the antenna, and so I had to pick it all up today and put it back on the sawhorses. Horses.
Steve, if you want, really want to give that guy the antenna, why don't you just be, you know, one of those padded envelopes, mail it off to him. They know why he probably wants to get one. That way you'll save him the hassle of going through buying one. And maybe he'll, you know, get it for $5 or something for it.
I wouldn't charge him for it. It's, you know, I got it for free. So I just do it as a good turn for another ham, you know, it's no big deal. I got the two of them for like the price of one, and then they threw in a third. So it's no skin off my nose, really. I'll just give it to them. But that's not a bad idea. I have to mail the soldering gun for Carlos tomorrow. So I'll get myself to the post office tomorrow. This week has been a little hectic for me. So I didn't accomplish much this week, and just been so damn tired. And, you know, work's been a chore lately.
All right. Set a mobile station. Let me grab a cup of coffee. N1MUQ, I'll be back.
BOR. Kilo, Delta 2, Bravo, Oscar, Romeo, you on the air? KC2HBR.
Hey, good morning, John. How are you? Sounding good?
Good morning, buddy. Doing all right. Can't complain. Nice to hear you. How was your day?
Okay, can't complain. A little tired last night. I got to the girlfriend's house yesterday afternoon. Took care of feeding her father and everything, so I decided to cut and edge the lawn. Boy, am I finding out about my right side hip at my age. Oh, I was dying by the time I was done with her property.
Roger that. All right, just take it easy, relax. Just take it easy and kick back and relax. And that's it. Now is your time to shine. So just take it easy. All right, Steve, over to you.
Yep, aches and pains are an unfortunate side effect of aging, and not much you can seem to do about it these days. I tell you, I feel so much different than just a few years ago.
Yeah, I think it's called a lazy winter time, Steve.
There was a little bit of excitement on my block today. Two houses over from me, the second house over from me, got robbed. And it happened between 6 p.m. and 8 p.m. They know the exact times that it happened. So pretty wild, just two houses down.
Yeah. Do you have alarm in your house, Steve?
I do. I'm all wired up for a service, but it's actually not active.
Yeah, sometimes it doesn't hurt to even have signs out there saying you do, you know?
Yeah, I did that. I had that up there for when it was. And it was like a plastic sign on a stick, and in the sun and the wind and the rain and all that, it started cracking, and piece by piece the whole sign fell apart.
Oh well, that's to be expected. Your antenna didn't get hurt the other night when it hit the ground, did it?
Actually, one of the elements, I think it's for 15 meters, got bent out like a bow. It looked like you could put a string on it and shoot arrows. So I bent it back into position the best I could. It was on two sawhorses,
and it had a plastic chair in the middle holding up the center of it. And then I weighed the chair down, because it's so light, it's a plastic chair, with a couple of bricks. And I had the mast underneath, you know, holding down the sawhorses, some masting that I had laying around, so to hold it all in place, and it was great. And it's been out there for a while. And so in the storm last night, it got blown over. I guess the wind caught the chair or the sawhorses, and, you know, just knocked them over.
Great. Long as you didn't have too much damage, that's good. Okay, very good. Oh, I left that guy a message yesterday, Steve. He was out of the office, and he did tell me in the email that he sent me back if I wanted to leave my phone number. I did leave my cell number with him. Okay, now, over to you, John. KD2, BOR.
Hey, so, Steve, this antenna that you're going to give my buddy, what is that? That's like a high-performance Baofeng antenna?
Into it. It's like 2.15 gain on, I think it's on, I don't know, 2 meters or 440. It's a dual-band antenna for the Baofeng, and it's just a long whip, you know, a rubber whip. You know, it's very flexible. And Charlie ordered one for his radio. I ordered one. It's a diamond antenna. So he should be happy with it. It'll save him a little hassle in picking one up. And I have no use for it because I have the two of them. So one's I use on the ocean and one I use on the boat tank.
Hey, Roger. Thanks, Steve. I thank you in advance. If you want to give it to me, if you give it to me or, you know, when I see you at the antenna install, or you could just mail it them, whatever you choose. All right, let's see. Is Charlie back?
I'm eating my snack. I'll be back in a minute.
John, his call is KD2AYA, right?
I think so. I'm not sure. Charlie knows better.
Roger, roger.
Okay, I see it's in fresh metal, it's not far. I probably can do that. I'll drop it in a little middle envelope or something and just send it to him.
Okay, copy that, Steve. No problem. KD2BOR in the group. KC2HBR.
Yeah, very good. I'm just scanning around on eBay and the internet, looking at what kind of antenna I'm going to do. I'm still not sure yet. It's up in the air. I think I have to wait till my landlord gets the roof done. He asked me if my antenna there was going to be in the way. I said no, it shouldn't interfere with them doing the roof at all. But I don't know if you heard me before, John. I was talking. I was on 10 meters last night, and the static was unbelievable. I had some station coming back to me. He heard my call sign loud and clear, but I could not pick him out of the noise. It was just terrible, so I just cleared with him. But what are you going to do? I'll get it straightened out one of these days. I guess Charlie's still leading. Over to you, Steve.
Britain, and they were saying the background noise was an S6. So the guy goes, it's an exact cutoff mark. Anybody that was under that S6 wasn't making it. And, you know, you had S7s, they were having trouble hearing. So it was a lot of noise. So I have no doubt that you had a hard time hearing them.
Just about what I had, Steve, right around a 6-7. Every once in a while I could hear him saying my call sign, but he said he was on some island, and I just cleared one. I just couldn't hear him. I tried everything.
And 1MUQ, I'm back.
Acknowledged, Charlie. You know, Rocky, I don't know if the radio you have, does it have something called an IF shift?
I'm not sure, Steve. I'm not even used to, it's got a filter installed, and I think Charlie might know more about that. I can't tell you what filter it is. I have the paperwork on it, There is a spot for another filter in the radio, but I think that has something to do with CW, and that's not going to, I don't need that, but I'm just trying to get myself familiarized with it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that radio has an IF shift. The filter he has installed is a narrow sideband filter.
Okay. Sometimes, Rocky, on the HF, you have a hard time hearing a station, or other guys are talking, giving their calls while, you know, you're trying to work them, and it gets really difficult. So you use this IF shift. It kind of warps where you are in the signal. So it'll sound a little distorted, and but you'll filter out everybody else's signal. Like, you'll hear just the person you want to hear, so he may sound a little weird, a little odd, but you'll at least be able to pick out what he's saying amongst the crowd or when you have a lot of noise. So that's something you might want to try. It doesn't affect the way you transmit or anything like that. It's just it's how you're receiving that station. And the next time you find yourself in a situation like that, you should give that a shot.
Manual. Let me throw it over to Charlie and see if there's anything in there about it, because I kept the book here. Over to you, Charlie. KD2VOR.
N1MUQ. Yeah, that's also good if you've got strong signals on either side of the frequency that you're on, and you want to, you know, you want to kind of not hear them. You can also use the notch filter to do that. But there's a lot of different things you can do with that radio. I'm not too familiar with all of them. My 450 had a lot of the stuff, but the 850 goes even further. But yeah, definitely familiarize yourself with some of the features of that radio through the manual. It'll help out. Go ahead, John. KC2HBR. And 1MUQ Mobile.
KC2HBR. All right, Charlie. How you making out tonight?
I'm making good time, John. I'm not in too much of a rush today. There's no specific start time. I have to put in 5 hours and I can go home. Today's a short work week. Most of the plant is off. Shipping is in, and you got a few guys coming in just to do some cleaning. But, you know, I'm not in any rush. It's going to be boring 5 hours, nothing to do. Nobody to supervise. You know, just walk around, check out a few things. That's about it.
Charlie, I asked Steve this question yesterday, and I'm going to pose the very same question to you. Do you ever get any shut-eye on the job?
Negative. Only on my lunch break. And then, you know, like 5, 10, 10 minutes. I take a 15-minute lunch break so I can leave by noon or a little bit after. But no, negative. No shut-eye on the job.
Right, over to you, Rocky.
KD2VOR. Steve, I don't think I have an IF shift. I've never seen anything on the front of that radio, but one thing I did notice, I've got that notch. I don't know if that does the same thing, because I have pushed that on, and it does almost like what you were just saying to me.
Okay. All the radios are a little bit different. Kenwood has, you know, their way. Icons have their way, and so forth. Charlie probably knows more about that. He's a lot more experienced with different radios. The only one I've ever had, well, I've had the Kenwood TS-180S, but it's so hard to remember. is back in the 90s. So, and the only one I've had since now is Icom 730. So Charlie would probably could answer that question if the notch filter is actually the same as an IF filter. That's a very good question. And Charlie, I'll hand it over to you. KB2TIA.
I think they're similar. They don't operate the same way, but they kind of do the same thing. I think they operate in different fashions. The IF filter moves the received frequency to one side or another. The notch filter cuts out some of the frequency on one side or another. wherever, you know, notches out wherever the offending noise is. If the guy's upband from you, if you want to turn away from the noise and notch it out and get rid of it, I think the IF filter does something a little bit differently. Rocky, you've got the radio there?
Oh, Charlie, there's too much dirt in this shop. I can see the amount of dirt that gets on that red thing I got on, that red cloth I got on top of my 635 with the fan. I told you that radio was so clean on the inside. I don't want anything to happen to it. I brought it back home.
Oh, okay. I misunderstood you. I thought you said you pressed the button for the notch filter, and it did the same thing that Steve was saying. You're saying it sounds like it does the same thing from what you're reading. Yeah, no, I don't blame you. Yeah, I'm sure you kick up a lot of dirt in that shop. Yeah, like I said, the only thing you can do is just go through that manual, try to familiarize yourself with some of the aspects of that radio. Jesus Christ, this idiot in front of me is going like 20 miles an hour. Holy Christmas. But, you know, there's stuff there that I have no clue about. I know you can go a lot wider with that radio, too, on transmit. I don't know what you have to do. I don't know if there's a mod to it or what. But that kind of stuff you can find out on the Internet, I'm sure.
Very good. John, over to you. KD2, VOR.
KC2HBR in the house. Yeah, okay. Well, I got a radio that's got digital signal processing, so that radio doesn't require any additional filters. So that's nice. At least you save money that way. Over to you, Charlie.
Well, I think that radio has options for other filters. I'm not sure, though. The DSP is for the receive. I don't know if you have anything for transmit. A lot of times that's what those filters are for, is they do both two-way. They do receive and transmit. Transmitting is a little bit interesting because you can curtail the audio characteristics by using different filters or different functions of the radio to either make the transmit wider or narrower. You make it narrower if you want to try to cut through some noise. You know, it's kind of like how a beam works. You know, an omnidirectional has got a wide pattern, so it goes everywhere. You don't have to turn it with a beam. You're narrowing your RF into one direction, so you get through a little bit better that way, and that's kind of how, you know, different filters work. Especially the narrow filter, it'll narrow your signal. It's almost like, you know, CW, how CW gets through. That's kind of how filters work in a way. But I'm not sure. I'm not familiar with the 2000. I would guess that there might be filters that you can add to it.
But there's no optional. The DSP takes care of everything. And yes, it does have DSP... transmit equalizer.
Oh, okay, yeah, like I said, I'm not familiar with the 2000 at all. I know a little bit more about the 850, only because I've had a 450 in there. You know, it's 850 is one notch up, but I'm not familiar at all with the 2000.
So like I said, there's no optional filtering, which is nice, so... You know, the radio cost about $2,000, but you don't have to spend anything else after that. So, actually, the radio is very affordable for not only how much you get, you know, bang for the buck, but, you know, you don't have to buy anything else. So that's very nice. Let's throw it over to Rocky, KD2BOR, KC2HBR, in the group.
Good, John. I just come back from outside. I'm bringing that manual home with me, so when I go home this afternoon, I can start. It's better to have the book at home with the radio in front of me. I think I'll learn a little bit more.
Don't worry. It's going to take a little time. You're going to have a little bit of a learning curve to adjust to, but guess what? I would rather have a radio that's big enough that's got all the controls and everything right there at the touch of a, you know, because with these menu-driven radios, they're okay, don't get me wrong, but they're just that much more of a pain in the neck. I prefer a radio that's a little larger and has all the buttons and knobs right there. You don't even have to go into a menu. I think I mean, the 2000's got an extensive menu. It's got like 63 or 64 menu items, but you hardly ever need them. So it's very user-friendly. And that's what you're going to find with your 850 as well.
Yeah, it's got more buttons than I ever had on a radio. Almost can get lost. Okay, very good. Thanks, John. Over to you, Steve.
Yeah, they can all be a little intimidating at first, but you'd be amazed how fast you pick it up. KB2TIA, over to you, Charlie.
Steve, did you get the picture of Rocky's radio that I sent?
My phone is still missing, so if you sent it to my phone, the answer is no. Otherwise, I'll have to check my email on the computer.
Yeah, I think I emailed it to you. Your phone is still missing. That stinks. And I must check my email 4 or 5 times a day. What do you do, check it once a week?
Usually, I'll check it if, like, I'm expecting something. And otherwise, yeah, I probably would say that's a fair assessment. I do probably check it about once or twice a week. Unless, you know, I've done something or I'm expecting something. I don't really get to my email these days.
If I checked it once a week, I'd have, like, 200 emails to go through. Yeah, but I'm pretty sure I sent it to your email. So check it out. Now, where do you think your phone is? Is it in the house somewhere?
Yeah, it was, because I use it as my alarm clock also. And it went off to wake the kids up for school. And then they were playing with the phone, and I knew it was critical because I forgot to charge it last night. And my son said that the phone had died. So I said, okay, you know, and I took them to school. And when we got back, I said, well, where's my phone? You know, I was going to plug it in. And he says, I don't know, Sarah had it. So I'm like, great, you know, did she take it to school? What? So I looked in the couches. I looked all over the place, tore apart the house. So I can't find it. So neither one of them can remember what happened to it. So that makes me worry a little bit. Because maybe something did happen to it and they just don't want to say. But can't find it and they couldn't call it because it was dead.
The joy of children. Well, when he said your phone died, I hope she didn't do what they do with fish when they die and flush it down the toilet.
Yeah, it was one of the other problems I had here today. The water, I'm in the shower, and the water started turning brown. So I got out of the shower, and I ran the faucet, and that was brown, and I flushed the toilet, and that was brown. I was like, oh, crap. So when my wife got home today, she ran the water for like 20 minutes, and it cleared up. Everything got clear again. But I guess somewhere there was a broken pipe, or they're doing work on it. And so that was my other problem today. I just had a day full of little annoyances and distractions. I forgot to pass it to somebody, didn't I? Okay, back to you, Charlie. KB2TIA.
Hey,
all right, sorry about that. I was in a real bad spot. Got a lot of noise this morning, especially over near the George Washington Bridge. I don't know if there's something interfering with the radio or the signal or what, but it was very noisy, and I was in a real bad spot. I couldn't hear anything. You guys copying me okay now?
No problemo.
Okay, very good. Yeah, it stinks when you lose it. My kids used to lose their phone all the time. And it would take us forever, you know, of course, their phones were always dead. So it would take us forever to find it. In fact, I found one phone they had lost when I moved the piano for the new carpeting. It had fallen behind the piano. And that's from, like, you know, 8 years ago.
I think you mentioned this one before. Who plays piano in your house?
My wife plays the piano. She used to teach piano lessons on the side, but she plays. She doesn't play all that often. When the kids were smaller, she'd be a little bit more often, especially around the holidays. We'd get her to play holiday tunes.
You can do maybe Jingle Bells, that's about it. I play simple things, Sunshine of Your Love, Let It Be, theme from Rocky, you know, a little bit of Chariots of Fire. I don't have too big a repertoire, but I play a couple things, Stand By Me, you know, but I don't really practice or keep it up or anything. I just, from what I can remember from high school.
Yeah, I wish I had taken up the piano, but I never did. That's an instrument that I really, really do like. Matthew, my youngest, he plays the piano, you know, on occasion. He plays mostly by ear and by reading music. I'm very impressed that he can read music. I never learned to read music, but he did, and he's very good at it. But he's lazy, like anything else. So far, the only thing he's sticking to is the plays that he's in, and he has singing lessons once a week that he goes to.
Charlie, let me see, do I have it? Yeah, Charlie, I meant to ask you, today when you spoke with Tony, I hope you were gentle.
Yeah, I was. He seems like a nice guy. I look forward to meeting him one day. I asked him about his antenna on the roof. He said it's on a big steel pipe, but like a black pipe, that goes through the whole building. It is a vent pipe. But he told me a funny story about the antenna. He said that he saw some guy looking at it, and he knew he was going to get a phone call eventually. And the guy called him and said, you know, I see some cable going into your window and some big antenna on the roof. Who gave you permission to put the antenna up on the roof? And this is the landlord. And he said, the FCC, the government, gave me permission to put that antenna on the roof. And if you're thinking of trying to take it down, you better think twice about that. I couldn't believe he said that to the owner of the building. I was cracking up.
Roger that. All right, let's throw it over to Rocky. Good morning, Rocky. How you doing, buddy?
Okay, John. Just wish this day was over, and it's just about started for me. Nothing else. Charlie, did I hear you say yesterday afternoon that Gordon put a new RJ45 on your mic?
Yes, you did. He did that for me. He had the tools, so he brought it with him. And during the luncheon, he put it... Look at this asshole. What an ignorant moron. Oh, man, I tell you, people like that piss me off. During the luncheon, he put it on there. So, yeah, I wanted to tell you that. I forgot all about it. It took forever. I never would have been able to do that on my own. But he had the tools and the connector. Put it on, and apparently it's working. I used it on the way home, and everybody said it sounded great. So, it seems a little bit better. And the connector was a lot better, too. The one that was on that microphone was a real piece of garbage. But the connector that he put on was a lot beefier and snapped right into place. Yeah, so I appreciate you getting the crimper from your girlfriend, but I never would have been able to do it, not on my own.
So the hardest part, Jolly, was getting the, not getting the old connector off the mic cord. That's not a problem. Just getting the right amount of wire, you know, enough wire out and getting them in line to push them into that connector. Crimping is nothing. The tool that my my girlfriend's got is probably just as good or whatever what Gordon had, but I just saw the hardest part is getting them wires in the right place.